This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're pleased to welcome Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life Radio. Matt up getting ready for his first show of the week. And John Rahm has been through quite a journey, Matt. Even just the last month has been one end of the emotional spectrum to the other. How would you describe what he's been through over these last few weeks?
I would describe it as a roller coaster. Amy, how are you? It's interesting where you were talking about leading into this. You know, why was it that the bookies around the world, the media, all installed John Rahm as the favorite coming in? And John Rahm's been knocking on the door for a while. He's a young guy, but he's been knocking on the door for a while in that he was tied for fifth at the Masters. He tied for eighth at the PGA Championship. Here was a U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. And remember, he's won at Torrey Pines before in the Farmers. And interestingly, when he won it, he shot a final round of 65 compared to yesterday, where he tied the low round of the week with a 67 in that final round. And he was coming in admitting, because John Rahm's, just like many of the young players, Rory comes to mind, Jordan comes to mind, and there's more, who are extremely honest. There's a candor in the game right now that hasn't really existed in many, many years in terms of the information they share. And John shared with us that he was playing what he thought was the best golf of his life. And aside from that, he had control over all of his faculties. And that directly relates back to the question you asked me of the last month. Here was John Rahm. He got his vaccination shot, but it was not outside of the, what do you call it, incubation window, 14 days.
Gotcha.
And so as a result, when he was tested, he showed positive. He was up by 6 strokes at the time. Mm-hmm. And there were many, myself included, that felt, wait a minute, if you have people on site and it's okay for the fans to be that close and all the rest, surely there's other risks that are out there that are more prominent than a player who, if you had to, you could send out there alone or send them out there with markers and scoring officials who had already been vaccinated, et cetera, put him in a mask, make sure he's away from people. But to have him withdraw from the tournament altogether seemed very harsh, and it seemed as though that decision in and of itself was a little bit behind the times. And instead of being the victim, and it was a microcosm of John Rahm as a man now, I think, John Rahm said no. He said, these are the rules. This is the way it was set up. It's set up with caution and with safety as being paramount. And it's okay. And we all went, wow. To take it with such grace the way that he did really changed, I think, everybody's way that they were reacting to it. And all of that, the reason I called it a microcosm is that pretty much everybody knows now that when John Rahm came out, he was a kid when he came from Spain to the United States to play golf for Tim Mickelson, who is now on Phil's bag for brother Phil, that he couldn't even speak English. He learned to speak the language essentially by listening to rap songs. And this is a very determined young man. And he did have an issue, though, and his issue was anger. And sometimes that's not that unusual when you have very talented young players, because there's a level of expectation that if something doesn't go their way, somehow fate denied them what they deserved. And as we got to know John Rahm better, as John Rahm got to know John Rahm better on the stage that is the biggest in the world that he now competes on, he got better and better and better at controlling that. And he shared that experience and journey with the world through the media as well. He talked about it whenever he was asked. So there are so many different levels that this is impressive. And it was the combination of all these things that led to that victory, in my view.
And now is about to become the number one player in the world again with this victory. And here's some kind of a quirky stat that I didn't know until I saw it this weekend. There only been, what, four major winners who've ever birdied the final two holes of their last round. And here he is with the birdies on 17 and 18, and he's not in the final group. It's not like his birdie on 18 assured him the victory. But, boy, what did we see? The great fire. I loved it. It was almost reminiscent of a Tiger Woods type of fist pump and the roars behind him. So maybe not the anger anymore, but still the intensity and the emotion. And I love to see that on the golf course.
Well, that's the beauty of it, Amy, is that he was able to continue to hold on to the passion and channel that without losing himself in rage, as he had done previously in the younger days of his career, even though, as I mentioned, he's still a young man. Those four come from behind victories that you mentioned. Specifically, the four were in the U.S. Open. There were others in other major championships, but the four in the U.S. Open that put him in the company of, which is remarkable. That's why I circled back around to it. Ben Hogan in 1953, Jack Nicklaus in 1980, and Tom Watson in 1982. He is the first man ever from Spain to win the U.S. Open, and he joins, of course, Seve and Jose Maria and Sergio as the three other major champions from his home country. So in so many different ways, it's remarkable, and maybe it was unfair to him or too soon for me to be thinking about the Ryder Cup in this context, but it is only coming up in September, a few months down the road. And I couldn't help but think, how much of a handful will he be for the American Ryder Cup teams over the next, what, 10 years, five years, however, whatever time frame you want to put it at his pinnacle? I think it's more than five. It may even be more than 10. But to see his fire, remember, he was 1-1 against his hero, Tiger Woods, in France at the last Ryder Cup, and he beat him. So it's just at so many different levels, we're seeing the emergence of a true global, and by the information we were just displaying too, truly historic player.
Matt, I forgot all about the Ryder Cup. Are the rosters, there's so much going on right now. Are the rosters already set?
No, they're in flux. But here's the thing, because they wanted desperately to have it last year, and in many ways the European Tour wanted and needed to have it because that the money that comes in from the Ryder Cup is important to both sides, obviously, but it's particularly important to on the European side indeed. And so they had adjusted how people can get on the team, essentially allowing the captains to pick more people that are, for lack of a better phrase, hot right now. So on the U.S. side, for your United States audience, Amy, there's only six automatic people to make the team versus in the past where that would have been obviously a higher number. Mm-hmm. So there's only six. So Steve Stricker and his vice captains will have six captain picks coming up. So I know that's a story for another day, but all of it is starting to churn.
Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life show, which you can get on demand, whether it's an app, whether it's on YouTube, all kinds of places. Matt's everywhere. He never goes to sleep. Seriously, my producer Dave and I were just talking about this. We used to get you in the final hour of the show, and now it's like maybe the first hour, maybe the second hour. You're just up all the time after these majors.
It is crazy. Yeah, I had to do a Jody Mack show on CBS Radio last night. I've got you now. I've got CNBC coming up at 5:40.
Oh.
And then I go on the air at 8. But it's a fun run. It's a good reason to have all this, right?
Yes, Eastern time for sure. After hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I didn't necessarily mean to get off on this tangent, but while we're talking the international flavor, how do the Tokyo Olympics factor in when we're still in the bulk of the season for these guys?
Well, first of all, the Tokyo Olympics factor in a big level with all the sports the same way. There's the enthusiasm, the excitement that goes with any Olympic game, and we're all looking at it going, geez, we can't wait for it to happen. But then there's this shadow that's cast because of COVID and what ultimately, there's a lot of cries for people saying the game should be suspended or be delayed because Japan is still having flare-up issues. But on the other side, and John Rahm spoke a lot about that, where he said, in terms of what they're doing and how they're doing it, they are certainly not making it easy for the athletes. He wasn't only talking about golfers, but relative to the golfers themselves, where they'll be staying is not close to the golf course, et cetera, et cetera. I guess you have to kind of look at that and shrug your shoulders a little bit and go, well, it's the Olympics. logistics probably aren't easy for a lot of Olympic athletes and probably haven't been for years and years. You got to make a choice whether you'll be there or not. I haven't heard definitively if Jon Rahm intends to be there. He obviously would qualify very quickly representing Spain. My guess is that he will be, but I think the jury is still out on that.
Mm. Well, have you heard a lot of the other golfers talk about it too, considering it? I mean, it's such an international sport, so there's obviously a lot of opportunity there.
Yes, but the interesting thing is the way you just phrased it, considering it. The it is both considering not going
right.
and considering
right.
going. So, yes, I have heard it on both sides quite a bit.
Mm. Matt Adams is with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. So at one point, as they're making the turn and they're getting into this back nine on Sunday, the leaderboard is this crowded kind of who's who with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau and all these names that you would recognize and know. Of course, Louis Oosthuizen and, yes, Jon Rahm. And then it was like steadily you start to see some of the other contenders just drop like a rock. I mean, Bryson, of course, he had the double bogey on 13. He had a quadruple bogey on 17. Rory was frustrated. I mean, Brooks missed some putts. What happened on that back nine?
The final holes of the U.S. Open, in fairness. It's not unusual to see that, to see players struggling. If you look at what Jon Rahm did in those final holes compared to everybody else in the field, is he had better control of his ball striking, better control of his game, and I think ultimately, when you get right down to it, he had better control of his mind and his emotions, which is ironic, isn't it, because of how we started this conversation, talking about emotions in the past getting the better of him. But Jon Rahm for the day yesterday had 14 greens in regulation. He hit the last seven greens in
Whoa.
Regulation. That is a very important stat. The day prior on Saturday, Jon Rahm had 33 putts. Yesterday, Jon Rahm had 28 putts. If you look at what consumes players in any major championship, and certainly because of the setup of U.S. Opens, they're consumed by areas where nerves are exposed. If you look at what Louis Oosthuizen did, particularly coming down the stretch where he lost in 16 and 17 shots to the left. When I say lost on 17, he physically had a ball fall
yes.
down off the into what they now call, they find them as penalty areas or a hazard, if you please.
A canyon.
It was a canyon. And ironically, just a day or two before, they had video of a big rattlesnake going down into that area.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a metaphor, wasn't it? So the funny thing is that when you see something like that happen, it causes you to go, wait a minute, players starting to do something that they really haven't done all week, and we see it in those final stanzas of a competition. Well, that's nerves. Oftentimes what you see, and you mentioned, for example, like Brooks Koepka, you'll see players who are good putters or even aggressive putters start to leave putts slightly short. And with a right-handed putter, oftentimes the putt goes to the right because they're not closing the toe of the putter. And again, that's just tightness coming into play. And so they're losing their sense of rhythm and they're not using their small muscles as much as they had previously. So we saw all those things starting to consume everyone around Jon Rahm at the same time that Jon Rahm was doing the opposite. Not only was he not seemingly consumed technically with those that were devouring those around him, but he was playing better in the cauldron that he was in. So the combination of those two things was absolutely remarkable. And as you noted, those putts that he made on 17 and 18, everywhere on social media now, they have them side by side, the two videos running, you know, left to right, down the hill, fist bump afterwards. if the frame is close enough on him making those putts, you can't tell which hole was which. That's how dialed in he was with what he did.
Mm. Torrey Pines forever, to me, at least in part, will be Tiger Woods' 2008 U.S. Open. And for the longest time, that was the last major that he had won until the recent Masters. What do you remember about his win there in 2008?
A lot of things. I remember that the way the golf course changed character. And we saw it again with this U.S. Open, and it's a credit to the USGA, that, you know, you go to a great golf course and you don't mess with it too much. Sure, you let the rough grow out and you squeeze in the fairways. But after that, kind of let Mother Nature do her thing. And you may have noticed even yesterday that as Mother Nature had been pounding that golf course throughout the course of the week with very little help, she was starting to brown out. But as a result, you also start to get thinner areas in the rough, which changed from the start of the week to the end of the week, which I actually like. I mean, I don't have a problem with thick rough at the U.S. Open because everyone's playing the same golf course and that's
yeah.
how it goes. But I do like when nature starts to go, you know what, because of an angle through a tree or what have you, the sun's going to hit this area in such a way that it's going to dry it out and brown it out. And we saw balls going in those areas and players able to get a club behind it. I did think it was a little bit odd that, you know, Louis was tased and didn't try to go for the green in 2 and 18. I do think questions will be asked about that. I'm curious what his thoughts are. I believe from what we could see with Ali that there was grass between his club and the ball, and there was no way to get the club cleanly on the back of the ball. And what that does is it provides, there's three ways that can go. Either it comes out like a dud, you end up hitting the shot that you actually envision, or it hits what they call a flyer, Amy, which means that the grass gets squished between the ball and the club face, and the water that's in that grass fills the grooves, so you get no spin, and it causes, you know, you can hit a shot considerably farther than what you were trying to hit. I mean, if that happened, I think we all would have went, hey, it happened because he was trying to be aggressive to win the U.S. Open, but ultimately he took more loft and laid up and left himself with a near impossible shot to half the hole. So I do think that that's going to come up in conversation. But again, that's an aside. So for when it comes right down to it, to me, Tiger's chip in at 17 on Saturday. Certainly what Tiger did on 18 on Sunday with that miracle putt before he went into the playoff and all the heroics that we saw there against Rocco, too. Yeah, there was a lot of that flooding back. It was really interesting that, you know, to have Tiger rehabilitating right now. There's some recent video of him hobbling around with you know, it doesn't look like a hard cast in his right leg, but he's definitely still got the leg covered and protected. All of that was kind of into play this week, and Tiger was very much in everybody's mind because of, as you outlined, that was the last time that we saw U.S. Open there. But I certainly think that the merits of what took place in the days that are behind us now added another incredible chapter to Torrey Pines that will rival even Tiger's win in 2008 in many ways.
John Rahm, a worthy champion. First major win on Father's Day. Always the beauty of the U.S. Open wrapping up on this weekend. So you can find Matt on Twitter at Matt Adams FOL. So not only Golf Channel, he's doing TV and radio this morning, but also doing his own Fairways of Life show that starts live 8 o'clock Eastern time. And you can get it on demand 24/7. Just check out fairwaysoflife.com or look on YouTube. Matt, we appreciate you squeezing us in. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's always great to
Pleasure.
Talk to you.
Always fun, Amy. Thanks. See ya.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.